talking with Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. Go back to the guest section if you've just joined us and click on photos beneath Harry's name. We're looking at the picture in the Fuhrer bunker with three Soviet troops in there, one of them with a candle down on his knee, looking at the floor in front of the sofa. Now, there's blood on the sofa at the extreme left end as we look at the sofa. What do we know about the alleged positions of the non-suicide of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun?
Right. There were three guys who claimed to be witnesses. You know, they were taken by the Soviets and convinced to remember things. So they remembered, they were witnesses, but none of them saw the suicide. Two guys said they heard gunshots, a gunshot, and ran into Hitler's quarters. A third guy said he smelled gunpowder and ran in, but their times, what time each one of them ran in, was apart by a couple of hours. We're wondering if maybe this wasn't cleverly planned disinformation by the SS so that people later on would realize it was made up. Now, two of the guys said that Hitler was sitting on the sofa. Eva Braun was sitting next to him, and her dress was wet because when Hitler shot himself, he knocked over a flower vase on the coffee table, and the water got all over her dress. There's no coffee table in this particular picture.
Yeah, you noticed
that, didn't you?
Yeah.
And the third guy said that Hitler was seated in a chair facing the sofa, and Eva Braun was laying down on the sofa. Well, if he was sitting in the chair, how'd the blood get on the sofa over there? And there's no blood on the chair. Also, and this is something that should have been easy for even a rookie to understand, the blood is all on the right side of the sofa, as if somebody had sat there and fired a bullet through his left temple, because the blowback would be out the right side, and the blood would be down there on the sofa if the guy was a lefty, but Hitler was not a lefty. If he'd have shot himself in the right temple, the blood spatter would have been all over the center of the sofa. Also, you see that picture of a dead Hitler with a bullet hole right in the middle of his forehead.
That picture number...
No, that picture I don't have up here because that's copyrighted by Getty Images. But I was a weapons specialist in the military, and I've had guns since I was 12 or 13 years old. You cannot hold a pistol in your hand and turn it around to fire a bullet directly into your forehead. You can't do it. Guys shoot themselves either in the temple or in the mouth or under the chin, not directly in the forehead. So, the idea, and now they're coming out with the idea that Hitler bit down on a cyanide capsule and then shot himself in the mouth. Well, it's kind of hard to shoot yourself. Hard to bite down on a capsule if you got a gun barrel in your mouth.
Yeah.
And if you bite down on cyanide, from what I understand, you're dead right now. You don't have time to pull the trigger. I don't know. But the point is...
It's supposedly very fast.
Yeah. Point is, it didn't happen. So here we have that very famous picture of Hitler patting his young troops.
Picture number five.
Yeah, picture five. The Volkssturm. The young kids defending Berlin, and that's not Hitler. That is his cousin, Joseph Sillip, who was discovered by the SS in 1944 and brought to Berlin and taught how to act and talk, etc., like Hitler. And it was fairly easy because he looked a lot like Hitler, and he spoke with the same particular dialect to the region where Hitler came from. Mm-hmm. But if you forensic people can look at the pictures and see the ears are different. And also, one of the two was an inch or so taller than the other. So,
well, this guy's pretty short.
Yeah.
I think the nose is different, too. Yeah.
Right. No, so that's why that picture's up there, because was gone by the time anybody was looking. Then if you look at pictures 6, 7, and 8, those are the three guys who claimed they were witnesses. Number 6 is Linge. That was Hitler's valet. Number 7 is Kempke, his chauffeur and head of the motor pool. And number 8 is Otto Gunsche, who was his adjutant. Now, Linge and Kempke died fairly soon after they came back out of captivity, but Gunsche was still alive, and he would come and to the Hotel Zum Türken on the Obersalzberg right outside of Berchtesgaden, and he was good friends with Ingrid Scharfenberg, who owned the hotel, and that's where we knew him from. And his wife passed away, late, you know, normal life ending. And so Gunsche celebrated his 80th birthday. He was in great physical shape. He was a big guy, about 6'4", 6'5", something like that. And maybe somebody thought that now his wife is gone, we don't have a sword to hold over his head, he might be ready to tell the truth. And shortly after his 80th birthday, his housekeeper found him in the sauna at 9 o'clock in the morning. He had been there since 3 the afternoon before, and the temperature was 85 degrees Celsius, which is about 185 degrees Fahrenheit.
He was
cooked. Obviously, he was not in any condition to talk to anybody. He was dead. He was actually parboiled. So we don't know. Maybe he was going to talk. Maybe he wasn't, but... we know that the story he gave to the Russians was disinformation, deliberate disinformation.
Of course. Yeah. And that's why Stalin, after the war, was enraged. He was demanding that his people find Hitler. He knew.
Yeah, he was also mad at the U.S. and England, claiming that the U.S. and England weren't doing enough to find Hitler. This was in July of 45. Well, if the guy committed suicide in April and Stalin has the body, why is he yelling for England and the U.S. to find him? Because he didn't have him. And people, sometimes these diehard propagandists, so they'll be facing me and they'll start yelling, well, they've got the body. And I ask them, who's got the body? Well, the Russians. They got the Russians. And they got the body. And I tell them, nope. I've been all through the Red Army Museum. Hitler's body ain't there. And even if he had been charred, if Stalin would have had the body, he'd have been behind glass in the Kremlin walls like all sorts of other people. I've been there several times.
Like Madame Tussaud's wax museum. But it would have been
almost, But Hitler ain't there because Hitler did not commit suicide in the bunker. He went to South America.
And very simple.
There are those
really,
who kept...
it's not such a hard thing to accept if you just get the facts. But the people...
That's it.
We don't get the facts. The people are constantly duped and deceived by the winners. And this whole thing is such a fraud. We're going to see some pictures here in a moment that are pretty amazing. So sit tight. Go ahead.
Okay. There are... On my new YouTube thing of Hitler's escape, there are a couple of people going back and forth. Well, this guy said that, and that guy said... And so somebody else plugged in, one of our members plugged in a note. If you guys would have read the book, you wouldn't waste your time with this because
they don't.
Are all in the... That's right. They don't want to bother... You know, don't bother me with fact. I've made up my mind.
Old story. They will not read the books. They condemn them, they criticize them, they laugh, they yell, they deride them, but they will not read them. And that's, that happens 95% of the time.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Okay, we're going to go down now to picture number 9. Very handsome 1930s vintage hotel.
1890s.
Or even older than that. Oh, there you go, 1890s. Yeah. This is in Cordoba, Argentina.
That is correct, in the town of La Falda. And it was a very big, very successful hotel up through World War I. And between wars. Einstein stayed here. The crown princes of Germany stayed here. Mostly it was Germans that stayed here. This is 400 miles northwest of Buenos Aires. And back in those days, it could have been on the surface of the moon because it was far removed from anything.
That's a long way. Yeah.
Right. And, wow. And we got tons of pictures on our website, sharkhunters.com. And there's a big courtyard. And in the 30s, when Hitler was rising to power, they could pick up the overseas radio transmissions. They were the only place around that could pick them up. And they had a big courtyard where they had the big speakers. We've got photos of that on the website under previous tours. And hundreds of people would be sitting there listening to Hitler's speeches. We were in that very courtyard when we went over there several times in the past year. I've brought history groups over there. We're in this hotel. It's no longer an operating hotel because the family that owned it were very staunch supporters of Hitler, which was fine until the war ended. And Argentina was a very staunch supporter of Hitler until the war ended. Then suddenly they were staunch supporters of the Allies. And right. So the Eichhorn family was forced out, and the hotel was seized by the government, I think. Maybe it was just an excuse to seize the hotel. I don't know. But this is a photo that we shot when we were there on one of our tours. And there's a huge, big garage where they had a whole fleet of Model T cars that people could use. People didn't go there for a weekend or a week. They went there for months because you had to take a ship into Buenos Aires and then get yourself out here, 400 miles out here. So you didn't come for a week. You came for months. Wealthy Germans were coming there and staying there. And there's lots of photos in the hotel of the people that were coming and staying there. And like I say, then it went bust at the end of the war when it was seized. Now, if you flip over to photos 10 and 11, who do you see there sitting at the table?
Now, the photos are sharper. These are a little bit blurry, sorry, but there's no mistaking who it is on the right side there.
Yeah.
You can see that. And look at photo number 11, and again, you get, and there are photos from across the table looking directly at him.
We've got a bunch more,
well.
But for brevity, and the hand movements especially, you can see who that is.
And the year of that photo, Harry?
1947.
And when did the war end, Harry?
1945, and he allegedly committed suicide in April of 45.
Okay.
It looks pretty good for a guy who was dead for 2 years.
We rest our case. It's not being
and that's the Eichhorn family
this,
that he's with.
The Eichhorns, Hitler had never been to Cordoba, never been to Argentina, certainly not before 1940 and not during the war years. This
right.
photo was taken after the war, unequivocally. There's no arguing it. The FBI didn't know. J. Edgar Hoover was apparently kept in the dark about this.
Right.
He was very angry and put out a memo at one point ordering all efforts to locate Hitler underway in South America to cease immediately. Now, that memo, I think, came out in 48. I don't remember. It was pretty well redacted.
48, yeah.
That's yeah, but he was in the dark. He didn't know. And then they
right.
told him, Mr. Hoover, we don't look for Hitler anymore. Stop. And that's why
right.
he put the memo out.
We have in our file, we've got hundreds of FBI memos. And in our book, we've got quite a few FBI memos dated in the 1945, 1946, where they are hunting for Hitler, and they're getting actual sightings and people naming people who've seen Hitler here and there, whatever. And then all of a sudden, they had to stop. That's because there were, in my opinion, there was a quid pro quo. We got a tremendous number of German scientists and technicians and engineers and a lot of technical equipment and state-of-the-art.
We got a whole space program. We got jet aircraft. We got all that.
And remember, the first director of NASA was Dr. Debus, who was the head of the rocket program under Hitler.
Peenemunde. Director of Peenemunde was the director of NASA for 13 years. I have a color picture of Dr. Kurt Debus with JFK at NASA, the facility down there at Cape Canaveral. Beautiful color picture.
And you know our old buddy Clark McClellan, he was an engineer with NASA for, 35 years. And there's he met Kammler and Gestapo Mueller there in Debus' office.
Yeah.
But incidentally, I think he's no longer with us. I tried to contact him the other day. The email is no longer in use. The phone is disconnected.
I'll tell you what happened off here.
Off air? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, we can do that. Okay.
Next picture. Number 12. By the way, just for you who are interested, the pictures in the Eden Hotel annex that you're looking at there, I believe if you do a simple search, let me do this real quick here. All right?
Okay.
Hitler photo in Argentina. Argentina at hotel. We'll just do that and see what we got. See what comes up. Okay. Yes, there it is. There are other pictures. If you simply do Hitler photo in Argentina at hotel, hit images, and you will see at the top of the page very clear, sharp photos. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different photos, I think 5. He knew they were being taken. But he didn't, at that point, I guess, want to worry about things. There's one, it's a face-on shot. He grew his mustache back. It is alleged that he took it off for a period of time when he got there. But apparently, feeling confident enough, he grew it back.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Just do a search.
Mormon had been paying photo off Peron, so there was plenty of protection.
Lots. This other picture of Hitler, you've seen it, Harry. It's of a very old man who appears to be laying on his back.
With a kerchief over his eyes?
Yes.
I don't know if that's...
We don't know.
Sure. Abel Basti came up with that one, and Abel Basti is a very, very excellent researcher. So
it looks to me like it is. I've looked at it many times, compared the facial features. He died at how old was he when he died? He died in 1962.
62, that would make him, I guess, 75 years old, thereabouts.
Yeah. No, he looks like a 75-year-old man.
Okay. Geez, did I look like that when I was 75? I didn't have that kind of pressure.
No. You had your hair longer, too. That
helped. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I'll never be bald.
No, you won't. That's the nice part about it. Don't cut it. Hair is an extrasensory organ of the body. And when you cut it off, you begin to suffer from dementia and you walk into walls and you no longer can converse properly. It makes you weak.
That explains it. Well, look what happened to Samson when he let Delilah cut his hair.
That's right. Well, never mind. Okay.
Number 12.
Number 12.
Yep. This is my favorite part of my South American research. That's
Yes, I'll bet it is.
That's Lawrence DeMello I'm with, who is a, in my opinion, the world expert on Borman. And she's a gracious hostess. This is in the breezeway between her house and the pool house. And whenever I go down there, I get the pool house, which is a huge, big living room and a very nice bathroom, and upstairs a big loft room. And the reason I look like hell there, and I'm wearing that dashiki, this was shortly, this was a couple of years ago, just a few weeks after I fell off my roof, broke my back, hit my head on the edge of the deck, and was out cold. Spent 3 days in a hospital. I don't even remember, even to this day, I don't remember them. 4 days
you
after call, I got out of the hospital, I was on plane. Huh?
Am I correct? I believe I talked to you in the hospital.
I don't remember. I don't remember anything of my time in the hospital.
Kay would know. I think I did. You called me, right? You called me as soon as you had the presence of mind to let me know what was going on. And it was, you were still in trouble. And I said, you going on this trip? You said, yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. On the third day, I kept telling them I wanted to get out of there. I remember that little bit, and so they sent a physical therapist down to my room, and he put this huge, big leather belt around my middle. I said, "What the hell's that for?" He says, "This is when my memory's starting to come back." This part, he said, "It's for me to hold you up in case you fall down." I said, "I'm not going to fall down." We got out in the hallway and said, let's try to walk. I said, try to keep up with me. And I started running down the hall. And he said, okay, you can get out of here. And was in his 30s. I was about 78 at the time. And so I was on an airplane 4 days after I got out of the hospital down to South America and damn near died again in the jungle down there. And this was at the end of my tour, probably 4 weeks after I fell off my roof. And she is just such a gracious hostess.
Well, you've raved about her so many times. She's just a class woman, no doubt.
Right. She's a great lady. And she's so much. She's an alpha personality like me, too. We'll be talking, then someone will set her off. And, Harry, why do you do this? You shouldn't do this. Harry, do this. Harry, do that. Harry, stop this. Harry, stop. Oh, by the way, would you like some tea, Harry? Can I make you a sandwich? She's such a nice lady. And
I have we have a mutual friend up here who knows her apparently pretty well. Carol Rosin.
Who?
Sure. Carol Rosin. 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 Carol was Wernher von Braun's personal assistant for the last 3.5 years of his life.
Oh, okay. Dr. Carol.
Carol is up here.
Yeah, Carol. Lawrence
Carol
and I
Rosin.
Talked about her, and Lawrence talked to her on the phone a couple of times while I was down there.
Yep. All right. Anyway, we got to take a break, so hold on. Be
take
right
a break.
Back. Yeah. Cooper about history. More note on the Eden Hotel in La Falda, Argentina. It says in this particular story, it's an hour and a half drive northwest of the city of Cordoba. The complex is now owned by the municipality of La Falda, which coordinates the tours given in Spanish, and is also in the process of redeveloping the historic site to function both as a tourist attraction. Good. They're going to they're redoing it. This is a two-year-old story, so and a site for events, shows, and educational activities. Now, the pictures we mentioned were not in the hotel's main area. It was in the annex, right?
Right, and that's still open as a B&B because I stayed there.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. Uh-huh. Old place. The room I was in had 16-foot high ceilings and big 12-foot high double doors, and a big,
it's quite
huge
an
claw. Yeah, right. Big claw-footed bathtub like was in my grandparents' house in Chicago, except you couldn't take a bath in there. The water was coming out all yellow and chunky.
Fun.
Yeah. So I just...
The hotel was... It was built during Argentina's golden age in 1898 by a different German immigrant. The Eden Hotel was purchased by the Eichhorn brothers in 1912.
Yep.
They appreciated the agreeable climate and beautiful scenery of the Punilla Valley and the nearby mountains that surrounded the 100-room hotel. Interesting. Okay.
It was cut off from the outside world back in those days. It was in this valley, and people just didn't wander in. I mean, you had to really want to go there. So,
right.
Anyhow, like I say, we are welcomed by the descendants of the Eichhorn family, even though they won't talk to the media. We've got it set up. We'll chat.
Very good. Okay, picture number 13.
13. We'll just brush over this one fairly quickly. This is a nondescript hotel in Uruguay. It says hotel. I know it's a hotel because they told me it's a hotel, and they got rooms with beds and stuff in there. But when we were there, there was nobody staying in the hotel.
But look at that strange black cloud hanging over the hotel. What is
so
that?
So then you, if you know where to go in the lobby, you slide this beautiful white leather sofa, you take it off where it's sitting, move it away, and roll back the carpet, and there's a trap door. And look to item number 14. We're about 60 feet underground in that thing. There was a whole bunker system underneath that hotel in the middle of Uruguay. Why did they need this hotel? They said it was a hotel with bunkers and tunnels underneath.
Now, this is not the huge, huge hotel out in the middle of nowhere, is it?
No, you're talking about the one in Paraguay.
Yeah, where is this one?
Holdeen Goebbels drew the pictures.
Correct, yeah.
That's our photo number 18.
Where is this hotel?
The one we're looking at here, that's in Uruguay. And I forget the name of the town. But Mengele's brother died, and so Mengele had to come to this town to marry his brother's widow for financial reasons, and he lived in a house nearby for 8 days. He rented the house, and we went there, and he had like 12 huge big guard dogs running in the yard there, but we were able to talk to the guy, and he said we could come inside the house, but I was still recovering from my swan dive off the roof where I landed on the back of my neck. And so I just stayed in the car and slept. Martin went in and talked to him. So we know that Mengele was there marrying his brother's widow. And in that same little town, we met this really nice old man who was the historian of the town.
This is Uruguay.
Uruguay, that's correct. And this guy wrote a book about the history of Uruguay, and I bought one from him. He was so happy. This American was there and bought his book, and he told us that the cornerstone or the base of the monument in the town plaza, that it's a time capsule. It was built in 37, and he said there was a swastika flag among the things inside the time capsule. So Uruguay was not very staunchly towards the Axis. They were more towards the Brits. That's the only South American country that was not in favor of the Third Reich. So.
All right. Very good. Fascinating history. And are you still planning on taking a tour to Argentina this year?
Yes, in November.
All right, that's
definitely
another. Wow, that's really going to be something.
Your listeners can send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and we'll give them all the information.
Okay. Now, let's move on to picture number 15.
Yeah, this is that farcical TV show, hunting somebody or another. And this is what they claim they discovered. They discovered in 2015 the ruins of Adolf Hitler's house. Well, we had pictures of this thing.
Hitler would live in a dump like that,
right.
First of all,
it's about a 4 or 5 room house. So anyhow, we had pictures. They discovered it. They said in 2015. We had pictures of it taken in 2007, 8, etc. So I went there in 2016. Like I say, right after I fell off my roof, and this is right at the height of the Zika virus. And this is right where they came from. And so Martine and I would soak ourselves with repellent to where no self-respecting skunk would even come near us. And we went in there. And these clowns claim they discovered it. It's a state park, for God's sake. It's been open since 1995. And if you look at picture number 16... I can't talk right. I'm missing my hair. Picture number 16.
You're catching on now, huh?
Yeah, there's the big map board that you see when you come into the park. And I've got a yellow arrow.
Yeah.
And you go to photo 17, and it tells you what you see, a close-up. They're in the park. They call it
ruins?
The Ruins of the House of Bormann.
Uh-huh.
They only use one N there.
Yeah.
But it was not anybody's house. It was a safe house, we believe, that was used after 1955 when Peron got overthrown and the protection for all these guys from the Third Reich disappeared. If they were guys like Kurt Tank and those guys, they had no sweat because they were not so-called war criminals. But the ones who were designated as war criminals, they had to scramble. So from where this house sits, it's a safe house. You look to the west across the Parana River, and that's Paraguay, right across the river. And about 10 or 20 kilometers to the east was Brazil. So this was a safe house. Yet those guys from the Hunting Hitler show claimed, I believe, on their show, they claimed that they discovered it. Also, and this just irks the hell out of anybody who's an honest journalist, the park rangers there were telling us that, the scenes the scenes where they filmed themselves finding German Third Reich coins on the ground and little pill bottles, which they say prove that Hitler was a pothead or a pillhead or a junkie or something. The park rangers told us they brought all that stuff with them and scattered it on the ground and then found it on camera. They salted the scene. And you as a journalist, me as a journalist, that's absolutely abhorrent. To salt a place and say, oh, look what we found here.
Yeah, well, showbiz, horrors.
Yeah, it's showbiz, but, you know, people keep calling that the History Channel. It's not the History Channel anymore. It was bought out by A&E, which is owned by Disney, and the name was changed to History.
And it's all the agenda-driven, twisted, corrupted reality.
Yeah, they don't give a damn about history, because I wrote to the CEO of A&E, good-looking woman, and I told her what were all the flaws and everything in this series. Never got a reply. Never got a reply. They don't care as long as the cash register's ringing.
Well, all right. Now, what I wanted to do, and maybe we can do this next time, is get like the big hotel on the lake. Outside of Barrel
Ocean. I misunderstood which hotel you wanted.
That's the one, and I'd like to get, like 10, 12 pictures of that one.
Yeah.
As many pictures of the Eden Hotel as we can, as many pictures of the Mystery Hotel in Paraguay as we can, and you got a lot of them.
Yeah, right,
and
not
just
a problem.
These are really hotels of the Reich.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah. I misunderstood. I guess that's because I lost my hair.
No, you shouldn't have. Never mind.
No, I misunderstood what you wanted. Yeah, we got tons of photos on all that stuff.
Yeah, we'd like 15 of each one. It'd be fun. Because these are really, that hotel on the lake is stunning.
That's a Hotel Vienna. Yeah, Hotel Vienna.
Wow. Anyway, okay. Let's go to, the next picture, 18, there's a whole book that could be really explained from this picture.
Exactly. This is from the scrapbook that Huldine Goebbels kept after she and her mother, Magda, wound up in South America. Oh, no, they committed suicide. They poisoned themselves. No, they didn't. I don't know what happened to the rest of the kids. But Magda was madly in love with Hitler. Huldine was fathered by Hitler. And so Huldine and her mom got out. And this picture was done, the date on it is 1962. Mm-hmm. And this is of a hotel in Paraguay, beautiful hotel, called the Hotel Tirol. Interesting name for a hotel.
As in the Tyrolean Alps?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
So anyhow, she drew that picture with the arched doorways. And if you click on to number 19, you'll see that same area, although they have since bricked over the openings. This was one of Mengele's favorite hideouts. And
now this, keep in mind, this hotel is literally out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Geez, way out there. And so right after, now, Peron had been thrown out of power in 55. And so then all the ones who were getting protection had to scramble, except Eichmann was not up on the level of the rest of these guys. He was a poor guy when he came. He wasn't taken care of. He had to work hard labor.
I wonder why.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They didn't like him, I guess. Yeah. But he was working at the Mercedes of Argentina plant. He had to ride the bus 3 hours to work and 3 hours back home. So he was pretty frazzled, which has made it easy for the Mossad to grab him, kidnap him like they did. So I think they were flushed with that victory, and they found out that Mengele was using this place for a hideout. And they came to grab Mengele here. I think there were five of them, five Mossad guys. And they were storming in the front of this compound. It's a big compound. And we have learned that the owner of this place, who's now passed away, he was shoving Mengele out the window in his underwear into the jungle, because this place sits in the middle of the jungle. Only the front is open. The sides and the back are right in the middle of the South American jungle. So he was shoving Mengele out the door, or out the window, as these guys came storming in. Well, these guys did not do so well as the ones that kidnapped Eichmann. These guys got their throats slashed and were dumped in the jungle. So we'll be back at this hotel, but not with our tour. This is going there only on expedition.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can next time around, we can load up with tons of photos.
Yeah.
Hotels.
All right. Number 21, 22.
Yeah, we skip over number 20.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Just remember, if you want to join us in Chicago, send us an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and away we go. Number 21, some of these charts have never been seen before, so we'll explain them. Okay, number 21. This is a hand-drawn chart of an airfield at a place called Schweidnitz. And you notice the arrow, and there's a circle, and it says Bell. That would be Die Glache. And you'll notice the the border around there, and on one side it says Russia Front on 3rd of May 1945, and inside there it shows SS troops, and these were some of the best SS divisions holding the Russians off so they could get planes out of Schweidnitz airfield, and one of them was that 390 that took Hitler to South America. He did not go on a submarine. The guy was violently seasick, claustrophobic, so he did not ride a submarine. So
this map is very interesting.
It showed where the Russian front is on 3 May, yeah. Then down right below the shark hunter's name, it said the Russian troops got on the airfield at 7 May of 45.
Uh-huh.
And so by that time, the planes had gone away. We're doing another book. We know where Hitler went from here before he left for South America. For there, he's missing about 8 or 12 days, and we know where he was, and so that's another book coming out.
It appears
if Jim Johnson's listening, that's your mother book.
It appears that in the lower right corner, there's reference to a Junkers 290 and a 390.
Yeah, they had several 290s on that airfield. And also just above the word shark hunters, it says 290. And it says Hauptmann Braun. I think it's, I can't read it from here. That would be
like
the
it.
Pilot from that 290. Yeah. So they had several 290s on that airfield, and they had the one single 390. And the 290s were bringing people out to other places, Spain or Norway. Because remember, Spain was neutral, of course, but Norway was still under German control. Even after the Red Army stormed into Berlin, once Germany surrendered, which was the official surrender was on the 8th of May, then all action ceased, but still all the German bases in Norway were under German control. They didn't close those bases up for a couple of months, even though the war was over. They were told just sit tight until somebody comes to get you, but those bases were still open for German use.
Wow, fascinating. Who did this map? Can you name the person? Don't if you don't want. When was the map written? Let me rephrase it. When was that map drawn approximately?
I don't know, but it was found in the files by Pizarro.
So this is an older map.
Decades ago.
Got it. Wow. Somebody tried to record the escape?
Yeah. For sure.
The 390, for those of you who didn't catch it, is the six-engined, enormous, long-range transport that is on the cover of Harry's book, Hitler in Argentina. It's right there.
That was designed helpfully by you. Somebody else did the book, but you helped him get it done right.
We got it done right. And,
yep.
I did mention the title. That's the one thing I remember.
Yeah, the subtitle, too. Factual.
Well, anyway, yeah.
I appreciate it.
Listen, that's such an, I'm so honored to have played a little teeny role. That is such an important book. Pizarro, God rest his soul, giving you that data was a tremendous service to truth and honesty in the world.
Yeah. The sad thing, he died under strange circumstances. He just banged his leg, got a bruise on his leg, went into the hospital, and suddenly he was dead from sepsis. And his son inherited all his stuff, and I contacted his son and said, hey, look, your father believed in the history of your people, and he and I were working to get this history out, so I don't want your archives, but I want you to help me. And the kid just went silent.
Wow.
Either he got threatened, or he didn't give a damn, or whatever. C'est la vie.
Yeah, well, it's fortunately, it's a done deal. You got the material. It's reproduced in the book. This is a first-person account from inside the Führer bunker. And without this, we wouldn't know the truth. That's that important.
True.
Just amazing. Okay, we're just about out of time, my friend. And next trip that people need to know about is coming up when?
September, Germany. Munich, Nuremberg, Berchtesgaden.
Oktoberfest, yeah.
Of course, Oktoberfest. And then down into Austria lots of things. They can see it on our website, sharkhunters.com, and scroll down the main page below the picture of Ronald Reagan, and in bright red letters it says something about our tour, and so you can click on that and see it all. And up at the very top you can click on previous tours and see all the fun we've had there. Go to multimedia and videos, and we're posting videos now, short ones, about the times we were there in the past. Short videos, 1 to 2 minutes long, because we're just giving you an overview, not an in-depth.
Very good. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you. And remember, if you want to say hello to Harry in person and you're anywhere near Chicago, contact Shark Hunters and find out when he'll be there for that submarine tour. U-boat tour in Chicago coming up in June. Fascinating. Okay, talk to you soon. You'd be well.
All right, have a great evening.
Okay, thanks, Harry. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Mr. Cooper, and he'll be back next month. And in the meantime, we'll be back in about 7 minutes.